Welcome back to Blockchain for Beginners podcast. Today I have an interesting episode where I talk to Eric Spivak. He is a leading voice in the NFT community, a member of NFT.tips. He also runs I Am Your Conduit, where it is a creative kind of onboarding for NFTs and for creatives. So I will leave all of the links to Eric's social medias down below. This episode, we're talking about something that, you know, caught my eye in the NFT community, and that is larger accounts sharing projects that may not be beneficial to small collectors or, you know, shilling projects that really aren't going to go anywhere. And that's definitely something to watch out for, especially for people who are beginning. So this is going to be an episode where Eric and I talk about this, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. Please do connect with me through Instagram, Twitter, or you can always send me an email. I'd love to hear what you think about what's going on in the NFT community. Can you explain, for my podcast is like beginners, right? So can you explain some of the lingo, right? Like, what is a rug pull? What is a honey pot? Like, all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, so there's a lot of buyer beware, do your own research that's necessary in any space that you get into, whether that's jumping onto a football field or a basketball court or a baseball diamond and not understanding the rules of the game. And by not understanding the rules, then you can fall susceptible to breaking them and in turn deal with the penalties that are associated with that, whether that's a flag on play or a specific card or potentially being taken off of the court or off of the field or whatever it may be. So in the NFT space, in the crypto world, there's a lot of terminology that's really valuable to understand. So you can basically have foresight into when you are finding yourself in these positions, right? So a honeypot and a rug pull and a pump and dump are three different types of tactics that more advanced, people in the space with malicious intent would use to take advantage of newer, less enveloped or less knowledgeable people in the space, less experienced people in the space. So a pump and dump, for example, would be when a handful of individuals are raising the perceived value of something by pumping up the price, by buying out the scarcity, buying out the everything and pushing the demand way up. So with high demand and low supply comes a higher price tag for the remaining items. So the perceived value of something, if there's 100 units for sale and 90 of them have just sold, but there's still 10 available, you're going to assume that 90 people have purchased this and 90 people are really into it. And if you're not part of that first 100, then you're missing out, right? So there's this fear of missing out that exists throughout the entire space and throughout life. And you have to really fight against that and learn how to be a little more apprehensive and assertive to all of these projects, because that fear of missing out is created to generate emotional purchases from people. So say there's one unit remaining and that unit is priced at $1,000 and the other 99 are already priced at, let's say, $5,000. You're gonna assume that you're getting a deal by getting it at $1,000, right? So you buy yours and then everybody else sells theirs. And then you see that the $1,000 that you spent is now worth only $20. And that's when you basically have the rug pulled from beneath you and in turn fall and hit your buttocks. So I guess that would be considered a pump and dump or a rug pull, where people are pumping something up and inflating the value of it or the perceived value of it, only to at some concentrated effort pull it from beneath you and leave the majority of people hanging, as a small percentage of people actually get their money out and your money on top of that. Another thing to go into, I guess, would be honeypots. Honeypots are when Everybody's racing to get in, but there's no way to get out because there's too many people inside. So if you think about a cookie jar and everybody reaching their hands into the cookie jar all at once, or into the pot of honey all at once, and then it becoming very hard for everybody to pull their hands out or pull their money out or pull anything out because the lid of the jar, the top of the jar is so small, you're basically creating a bottleneck. And a lot of times these projects are created specifically with the intention of that effect happening with people. And then once everybody's in it and they can't get out of it, that means that there is no off-ramp. So they make it easy to get in and easy to get on, but no way to get off. It's almost like being on a cruise that doesn't have the little side buoys or side boats. I forgot what they're called. So yeah, these are just two or three different analogies or examples of things to look out for in the NFT and crypto space. And it's not mutually exclusive to NFTs, and it's not mutually exclusive to cryptocurrencies or altcoins or alternative currencies. So you just have to be mindful and be aware and be careful and make sure that you're not buying into something just based on the hype, and you're actually looking at the fabric and who's behind what, when, where, and how. And then also to see where the end game is. Like, does it look realistic? Does it look like they'll hit their finish line and their goals? Or does it look like something that might just have a dead end and leave you questioning what's next? And that's not a feeling that you want to have when you're investing your hard-earned money into something that you believe in.
Yeah, and what would you say to watch out for? Like, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to do this podcast. Yeah, one of the big things when I got into the NFT space about a year ago, you know, I talked to Rami, who started BitNifty, and that's really how I started learning about NFTs, was, you know, larger platforms that have lots and lots of followers. And then the one that I will personally mention, because, you know, it's something that I've been seeing recently with something else that I'll bring up later. But we have large platforms like, you know, at NFT, and they're sharing a lot of projects. But then for people that, you know, are looking to get into NFTs, they think all of these projects are amazing, and then, you know, they end up being worth nothing down the road, and it's just kind of disheartening to me personally to see that. So how can we discern for ourselves, even with like large platforms that are promoting projects and we think that they look legit because they have lots of followers and it looks like there's lots of things going on, like how do we actually discern for ourselves for people that are new?
Yeah, I mean, I think that to be aware of these tells and signs is to really pay attention to comment sections and follower counts and see who's actually corresponding with these posts and these stories and these threads. Who is actually in the comment section as a real person versus a bot or AI that's programmed to leave a comment saying, "This is amazing. I can't wait to buy the next one. I just went all in. I'm aping in on this," you know? That narrative of excitement and that fake correspondence typically gets overlooked, I would say, and people buy in based off the pipe. So I think more than anything, it's really a matter of like doing your diligence to inspect the product, you know? If you had certain dietary restrictions or you were allergic to certain things, you wouldn't just pick something off of the shelf that you know typically has an ingredient that would really mess you up or potentially be fatal to you. So you'd be reading the ingredients and reading the labels. So in the same sense as we're seeing these posts from these large accounts shilling projects that might not have the best intentions, it's important to make sure that you read the labels, make sure that you read the comments, make sure that you look at the sources and the history. You know, there's a history that's formed every time they make a post or every time they share something. So platforms like at NFT, which mindfully is backed by Mark Cuban, so it's extremely negligent in a social responsibility way for the thing to exist. but platforms like that, you know, it's clear as day that the goal is to generate revenue. And when business is business and Christmas is Christmas, you don't really care about the integrity or ethics or character so much in what you're doing when you're just trying to make a quick buck. And unfortunately, that's what that page is riddled with.
Yeah, 'cause I saw today that, something that I guess I didn't know. I guess I was naive too, which I just didn't realize how much money was going around, kind of like to post for certain platforms, was that there's like another side of it, right? Like it's not just people sharing things because they love art or they love this project. Like they're getting paid, 20K, 30K to post it. So it's not just because this project is awesome, right? It's like there's a whole other game to it. So how do you think that the community, like for the ones that are in the community, how do you think that we can actually hold people accountable? Because we should be able to ask questions and we should be able to like, ask people why they're in the space or what they think that they're bringing to the space or what they want to bring to the space. Like we should be able to ask questions about integrity and have open conversations, right? So how do you think we can do that?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the issue with any new space. Regardless of this stuff being around for the past couple years and NFTs being popular, so to speak, or not even popular, but becoming a thing around 2017, 2018, I think that you need to have authentic voices in the space in order to maintain the integrity of it. So if everybody around is a fraud and you're one person that isn't, unfortunately, you're voice is going to get squelched or diluted because of the fact that there is eight or nine other people that have bigger, larger voices that will project further and louder on behalf of those other voices so they can maintain their own scam or gambit. So it's really a matter of us as a community to hold people accountable publicly and raise awareness for these different things to become susceptible to. It's really important that people maintain not necessarily validation, but acknowledgement for the voices that are really doing a good job at preaching from an authentic place and a transparent place. It's very easy to get discouraged if you are a tree falling in the woods and nobody's around to hear it or see it. So just launching tweets or posts into the metaverse that aren't getting any form of consideration or acknowledgement or appreciation is very like disheartening, I think. So it's really a matter of helping everybody find their voice and making sure that the right voices are becoming platformed and getting enhanced and elevated, and that's what's going to create a balance, that's going to create a level of comfort and stop the complacency in the idea that just because it's decentralized or just because it's crypto, that makes it okay for there to be scams and to be this unscrupulous behavior happening on such a regular basis publicly, you know?
Do you think that there should be more transparency, like for us to know, because I think that influencers, like there's always going to be influencers, right? And there's always going to be people who build platforms, like I'm talking on a platform that I'm building right now. But do you think that there should be transparency in terms of what you're actually doing and promoting and why you're promoting it? Or do you think that's an issue? Like, I think that's obviously an issue that goes beyond the NFT space. And that's why, like, a lot of the people that I like to interact with and follow will share, I'm promoting this. This is a promotion. And I'm promoting it because I like this product. I don't promote everything that I get asked to do. Like, I don't just take anybody's money. Do you think that there should be more
Right.
transparency in this space like that? Or how do we deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, so I think it took like almost 10 years for Instagram to require influencers to tag their partnerships of if this is a paid promotion or not, which I think still gets overlooked because it's not very clear on if it is or isn't. And then the space in the same vein, it's very easy to take hush money and enough money to bite your tongue and know that the project may not be the best and the results are going to lead to people being harmed financially or whatever it is, it's very easy for people to become lost in it. And I think that until there is that level of heightened accountability and awareness, unfortunately, we're just going to keep saying the same old tricks, you know? And so the only way to combat that is if the platforms that have the voices continue to bat it down and push it away, or the community itself, on a bigger picture, also push things away and reject and denounce projects that we know are going to have negative impacts. And with enough of that happening, it should create a trend of like good versus bad and what's acceptable and what isn't. And unfortunately, right now, we are a lot more accepting than I think we should be. And again, that's not going to change until there's more people like myself that are about, you know, a level of posterity in the way that we work and a level of authenticity and ethics and morals and values attached to everything that we do.
Yeah, and I think it is a big issue, especially in this space, like you said, because I think that there is this underlying fear of like I'm missing out on something, or I should have been in this space, you know, a year ago or 3 months ago or something. And so people are already kind of looking for almost like the next thing, and that's why it's really easy at times for people to fall into something that's not going to be good for them, especially when they think that, you know, there's a lot of followers, there's a lot of hype around this thing, and then it's nothing. So, and I know that a lot of people in this space are like me, right? Like, I do not come from money. I am interested in this space for a number of different reasons, right? I'm interested in blockchain technology. I really like the art, and I'm interested in like, you know, trying to level up my life and share what I'm learning with other people. And so I think for people that are like me coming into this space, you know, if you get interested in hype and you take a bad hit, like that could be really bad for you. And so that's why I wanted to talk about this.
At the end of the day, it is again falling on us as independent curators, creators, and collectors, and business owners, funders, founders, etc., to be the change we want to see in the world. And this is a prime opportunity to reinvent the wheel for once and do things right.